You know, life, the longer we live, the more we recognize that life has the ability to throw curveballs at you. You know, you can't plan for everything. And even sometimes the fact that you have to plan for everything is also what tires you out. It overwhelms you. So life has the ability to sometimes throw curveballs at you. Now imagine being a slave in Israel for 40 years. You've been a slave in Israel for 400 years, well, your ancestors were, and you've been there for a very, very long time. You had no identity. You had no purpose by yourself. You were only there to serve like a cog in a machine until the cog wears out and they'll replace you with someone else. And people treated you really unkind. The word Hebrew, some translators say the word Hebrews literally means second-hand citizens. You know, it's like a second-level human. So you don't have to respect him like a real person. He's like a second-level person. So it's like apartheid. It's just worse because there you didn't even have no one had a conscience issue with killing you because you weren't really human. You were like subhuman. So imagine growing up like that. And then Moses pitches, you've been praying for a long time to the God of your ancestors who said there's a promised land for you. And then God does amazing things in a few weeks. I mean, the Nile and all the water turns to blood. Frogs, mosquito, pestilence, darkness, hailstones, and then the death of all the firstborn of Israel until the greatest empire and the greatest emperor who deemed himself God said, okay, Israel, your God is bigger than me. And Moses said, Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. And he says, yes, get them out now. Get them out. Give them what they want. Give them all the jewels and stuff that you have. Just get them out. And they leave. And then by God's great power, you find yourself on the other side of the Red Sea. And then you walk around in the wilderness for many years. And there is a constant presence of God in a cloud form by a day, which you are really thankful in the desert, and a fiery cloud by night, which you are really thankful for God in the desert. But there's this constant vulnerability in the desert. A constant vulnerability. You know, you're living in tents. And I mean, how many of you have been in the desert when the east wind in Namibia actually pumps? It's not comfortable. It really is not comfortable. You've got your tent, but it's not comfortable. Even if you're in your car, it's worse because you're just thinking, I didn't really want a metallic car. Now I have a metallic car after the sandstorm. You know, it's warm and it's uncomfortable and you're trying to eat your bread, but there's sand everywhere. You know, and you daily have to pack up your tent and leave. There's a fatigue. You don't know where you're going to be tomorrow. There are wild animals, there are scorpions, there are serpents in the desert. So you really feel unsafe and you wonder where my next meal will come from. You're just waiting for that place where you can just go, okay, I can breathe out, it's safe. And sometimes in life we feel like that. We want that, just that space where we can go like, okay, everything is fine now, thank you. I can camp out next to the river and just chill. So in that context, God gave the law to Israel, these nomads touring through the wilderness. And God recognized, and I want you to know this, God recognized that Israel needed daily encouragement. You know, it's not weak if you have a need for encouragement. It's not weakness for me to want to hear my wife say, hey, sexy, Slifio. And then you just feel these boykies pump up and you go like a maak 'n paar grappies. Anyway, but it's not weakness for me to want the affirmation that she really loves me and that she likes me, she desires me. It's not a weakness. In the same level, in the same way, it's not weakness for us to need encouragement. Because God knows our human condition. It's vulnerable. So for that reason, God actually, on a daily basis, every day, when the Israel had to gather at the tent of meeting, the temple in the wilderness, the wandering temple, they had to bring an offering to God because God himself was living with Israel in the desert, a holy, perfect God who wanted and chose for himself people that are imperfect. And on a daily basis, they came to God saying, God, we thank you that you are present with us. We recognize, like we heard this evening, we recognize that we are imperfect and we need your mercy because we sin on a daily basis. And at the end of that service, the priest had to say these words to Israel, which we know of by heart, I think. Not the black words, but the Lord's blessing. I just changed the sermon. Thanks. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons saying, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and the Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and the Lord give you peace. So shall I put my name upon the people of Israel and I will bless them. Really well-known words. Really, really well-known words. Every single day, Israel at least heard it once a day. These words that God says, I bless you and I preserve and protect you. My face is beaming over you with delight. I am gracious to you. Every time you come and approach me, I lift up my head and I look at you in the eye. I'm not distracted. And whenever you approach me, I want to say that I have good plans for you. I wish you well. I desire goodness and peace for you, shalom, that it may be well with you. And this is what he says. Every day they do this. And in this way, God says, I want them to be identified with me. And God says, watch this. When you speak these words, I'm going to do it. So let's look at this slowly. Every single day, Israel was reminded, the next slide, thanks, Vian, that God is a generous God. God is a generous God. Yes, I know that you live in the desert. Yes, I know that you're traveling every day in the desert. I know it's warm. I know it's uncomfortable. I know there are storms. I know that you don't live in plenty at the moment. You don't have your own grapes, your vineyards, or your own flock flourishing at the moment. God says, I know this. But know that I am a generous God that blesses you every single day. I am the God. My attitude, my character is such that I'm generous, that I want to, and I give you what you need. Ask of me, God says, I'm a generous God. My hand is open, says God. I satisfy the desire of every living thing, the psalmist writes down. God is a generous God. Your God, our God, is a generous God. He's not stingy. He isn't close his hand. He's not a God who turns away from need. And that's why you'll find every time when Jesus speaks about the Father, he says, ask me. Please ask me. Plead from me. Ask me what you want. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, God says, I give you. I am a generous God who generously gives what you want. At one stage, Paul says, my God, he says, I've known what it means to be in plenty and in want. I've discovered in all of these things that my God shall supply in your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Our God is a generous God. He's not a stingy God. He's not a God whose heart and hand is closed towards you. He is a generous God who wants to bless. And he says, Israel, tell these people, priests, tell these people on a daily basis that the Lord bless you. Bless you where you are. And I want you to get this because I think sometimes we miss the point. It's not as though Dallas Willard, late Dallas Willard, Professor Dallas Willard, one of my men, if I want to grow up to be like someone, I think he's very close to Jesus. I would like to grow in his direction. He passed away a few years ago. Anyway, once he said, I still need to find a place where God blesses you apart from where you are. And what he's trying to say in his philosophical words, he's saying, God is generous to you where you are now. The psalmist writes it. David writes the Lord's Psalm. Sometimes we think that God will bless me and I will be blessed if he gives me this now. Or when I get that, I will be blessed. It's what we think about sometimes. But he says, no, Israel, I bless you where you are. David writes, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he says, you prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. My cup overflows. now. I am blessed now. I am satisfied where I am. That's where Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content, knowing that what I have now is the blessing of God, is the goodness of God. Don't have to go over to the other side to where the hills are greener until I'm happy. He says, no, the Lord is my shepherd. I am satisfied here and now. The Lord bless me. I want to say, know that God is a generous God. God really is a God who wants to give you all things. The word blessing there, the Lord bless you, I just want to point it out. Some of you have read this, but this is beautiful. Debbie said it the other day. The word barak. The word bless is the word barak, which literally means to kneel. So he says, God kneels before you like a servant. And you go like, what? To satisfy your needs. And this is God himself saying, he says, I am God. And if you want to know my generous character, I'll bow myself down to serve your needs. And immediately, if you hear this, obviously you think of Jesus in John chapter 13. And his disciples, he says, well, someone needs to wash the feet before we bow down and before we lay down and sit down and eat. And the Lord says, if you want to truly know my character, that's me. I will bow down to serve your needs. It's the attitude of humility that God has towards us. That's the way God approaches your needs. And this is what the Lord says to Israel. If you want to know me, I'll humble myself to satisfy your needs. That is who I am. My heart is to bless you. Romans 8:32. He who didn't spare his own son for us, how much more will he not with him also freely give us all things? God's attitude is that of a generous, selfless God. God's character is selfless. That's the God. And every single day, the priest said to Israel, Israel, this is who I am. This is who I am. I want you to, yes, you're traveling through an arid desert, but see wherever you go that fountains flung forth from the rock. If you say you want some meat, I will fly in a few million birds to satisfy you. Whatever you need, if you need to be healed, I will heal you. I am the Lord that raises up something just to bring healing to the serpents that stung you. I am God. I know that you have need. I will satisfy your need, says God. And I will do it like a servant with the attitude of, and you're thinking, God, you want to serve me? And sometimes we feel like Peter saying, what? Not that. And Jesus says, listen, I'm going to wash you, man. I'm going to wash you. Do you want to be washed? Do you want to be blessed by me? I want to bless you. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, just listen to the words of James. James said to an impoverished church in Jerusalem, 45 after Christ, 15 years after Jesus was crucified. He said, people of God, you have not because you ask not. Ask, Jesus says, and I will give you. Continue to ask, and I will satisfy you. I'm the God who wants to bless you. The second one, and he says, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, preserve you, protect you, encamp you, raise up a barrier around you. And obviously, you would know why they want to have that. Obviously, you would think, I mean, living in a desert with nomad people and other tribes, you're vulnerable. You live in tents. You live in tents. We don't have walls. Literally, there are no walls. There's nothing around them. Remember the instance where they fled from Egypt? The Israelites fled from Egypt towards the Red Sea, and then they were crossing through the pathway that God had prepared for them. In the movie, it's really great. But prepared for them in the path through the sea. And then the army, the Egyptian army, Pharaoh was angry and he charged them with chariots and horses. And they couldn't run fast enough with their cattle and with their kids and with their babies and all their stuff they had with them. And then the Lord literally came between them like a wall of fire, literally a cloud of fire to protect and to hedge them in. And this is the image that God gives here. He says, I'm the God who, I am your shield. Zechariah chapter 2 verse 5, he says the same thing. While Israel's walls were broken down, the prophet rose up and he says, this is what God says. You're really, really afraid of your enemies because your walls are damaged. God says, I am the wall of fire all around you. That's who I am. It's God who protects. It's God who preserves. And I think in our South African context, we really need to know this. We really need to hear this. We need to say this to one another daily. Yes, you are afraid, but our God is a wall of fire all around us. Your God is a wall of fire all around you. God is the one who shields you. He said to Abraham, he says, Abraham, you're really afraid that these kings are going to come back to you? I am the Lord, your shield, and I am your exceedingly great reward. Genesis 15:2. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. I'm the one who guards you. I'm the one who protects you. Psalm 121. Indeed, he who watches Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will preserve your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Israel, I know that you're really afraid, but hear this every single day, that I am the God who protects you. I'm the one who watches over you. Isn't that amazing? Every single day, Israel also needed to hear not just that God is the one who provides generously and what is the one who protects, but that God actually likes them. And I think, remember, they hear this every single day at the daily sin offering. When they go to God, because they recognize, God, you are so perfect and I'm not so perfect. You know, and it's fine the first five times. But if you grow aware of your fallibility, it's a bit irritating after a while. It's the same in a marriage, well, in a friendship with your mom, maybe, if you're aware that I'm constantly failing. And this Israel, every single day, went to God, and God said, listen, Israel, thank you for the sin offering. I'm paraphrasing, yeah? But listen, Israel, my face is beaming every time I look at you. Every time I see you, my face is shining. I'm smiling. I'm smiling every single day. We went to Stillby now, previous week, came back. And guys, my wife had to leave on the Monday because she had to work. Someone had to work. She had to work, and me and the kids came back on Thursday last week. And I wouldn't tell you when those doors opened up and Marguerite and Nathan jumped out of the car, still half asleep. But they saw Marguerite, and their faces were beaming, and my wife's face was beaming. That's the picture that this text speaks about. The Lord makes his face shine upon you. It's not like a zzz. It's like, I'm so happy to see you. I'm delighted over you. You don't irritate me. I don't tolerate you. I am happy. I'm genuinely very delighted to see you. My face beams up to see you. It's nearly like someone who's in love and you hear the clippies. Well, clippies tini right. And while you gonna serve for your girlfriend in Eisenbos, Margaret, and throughout the night, and she opens up, and from the third floor, and she just sees us with our guitars down there, and her face is beaming because she sees us. Well, my face is beaming because the light is shining in my face. It's like, but that's the picture that it creates. God is delighted to see you. How many times in the Psalms do you read that God is truly delights? God delights. God delivers David, Psalm 18, because he delights in him. The Lord delights in his people. God is not a God who tolerates you. He delights in you, not because you are good, but because he is good. Not because you've been good, but because he's loving. It's his nature. He really, and that's why he said to these, and it's difficult. It's difficult to believe it if you're damaged. It was difficult for Israel to believe that God would delight in them because they were slaves that were ill-treated their whole life and were told how worthless they are their whole life, and everything about their circumstance said it. But then God, when he saves them, he says, listen, you are a chosen generation, a holy priesthood unto God. You are a royal people. You are my children, says God. I delivered you because I delighted in you. And that's what he says a few times in the canon, in the scripture, in Deuteronomy and in Exodus. He said, Israel, I want you to know that you are worth something. That's why I saved you. I'm not pitying you. I'm delighted in you. So every time they get to God, he said, you, for your whole life, communicates to you that you're worthless. Every single day that you stand before me, I want to tell you that you are worth something. I delight in you. You are my treasure, says God. You are my treasure. It's amazing. I want you to know that you are God's treasure. He really delights in you. And it's not just for the pastor and the holy people with the guitars in front. God delights in you. That's why he wants to save you. He really loves you. His face beams about you every time that he sees you. I like that picture. The next scripture is the fact that the Lord bless you. Oh, you can't really read there. It's bad publishing there. The Lord be gracious to you. It's what it says. They come to God on a daily basis, aware, in the face of a holy God, you're aware of your fallibility. I mean, let's face it. That's why it's amazing today to sing the song that God really loves us and that God forgives us, to say it over and over again. But the text says it so beautifully, that God is gracious to you. It's something that we read over and over in the Psalms, and it's something that we read over and over in the prophets, that the Lord is gracious towards you. It means that he said he's righteous and he's holy, but then he says he's gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. In fact, it comes from the law, what God said to Moses. Gracious and compassionate. He really feels for you. As a father pities his children, Psalm 103 says, so the Lord pities. As a father pities his son, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He knows that we are dust. He knows that we're fallible, he says. And then it says, and therefore he doesn't account us or treat us as our sins deserve, but he's gracious towards us. God doesn't deal with you based on your performance, and that's what this text says. God says, every time these people approach me for a sin offering, tell them that I don't treat them based on their performance. I treat them based on my character. I am a gracious God. I am gracious. If I wasn't gracious, they'd all be, we sang it tonight, we'd all be in the fire. Beautiful song, Werner Donkey. But he says, I am a gracious God. My character towards my people is that of generosity, grace, mercy. I overlook their flaws for the sake of relationship. I mean, that's what we do in marriage, and that's what we do in every other relationship. We can't live, you did this, so I'm going to do this to you. I mean, you will have no relationship. That's why politics suffer, because there's no grace. But when there's grace, it means relationship is possible. And that's what God says every single day. Tell them that I am a gracious God. His mercies are new every morning, the Lamentations. Jeremiah, picture Jeremiah. He was sitting in a pit, eh? When he wrote Lamentations. It's an extremely difficult poem, alphabetic poem. Really, really difficult. But he's writing this while he's sitting in the pit waiting for the Babylonians to, according to his prophecy, conquer Jerusalem. And then he just sits in that pit and he goes, the Lord is gracious and compassionate. Then he sings, his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. He's a faithful, loving, kind God. I know that God will restore these people. And he wrote it in his book, chapter 29. He says, God is so gracious that although Israel is hard-hearted towards him, he's going to show them compassion. He's going to show them compassion. That's who he is. He's a gracious God, merciful, compassion. His mercies on you every morning, every morning. I want to put this here because I want to preach the gospel just for a second. We say this always, and we sang it tonight, and Werner and Siko were good in waiting there for a moment because that's what the Holy Spirit said, and that's why I changed the sermon now. Is because we say it, 1 John 1, verse 7 to 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and there's no truth in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our iniquities and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And for those of us who have been in the church for a long time, we know that God is gracious. We know it. We hear it over and over again. God's character is gracious, so he's faithful. He's dependable, trustworthy. We can rely on his grace. He's faithful to forgive us our sins. But then there's this phrase, and I always wondered about that. He's faithful and just to forgive us. And you go like, how? God isn't just to forgive us. I mean, he's merciful to forgive us. It doesn't make sense. Unless, like John in that chapter, you've got the cross straight in front of you. He's faithful. His character is forgiving. He's dependable. He will always forgive. But then he says he is just, which means he must he must forgive me. And I'm like, how must God forgive me? I mean, why must God forgive me? It's so beautiful. If you understand what Jesus did on the cross, and you're a believer in Christ Jesus, you know that he is just to forgive me. Because Christ, for those who are in Christ, there is no condemnation, because Christ has, in all reality, taken my sins and my iniquity, my shortcoming, my character flaws on the cross with him. And a righteous God cannot punish two people for the same crime. God cannot punish two people for the same sin. So if Christ has suffered for my sins, then if God is just, I cannot suffer for my sins. He's faithful and just. Do you get that God is gracious, that he made provision for my forgiveness even before I've transgressed? He's faithful and he's just to forgive my sin. What a gracious God do we have? His character is so gracious that he made provision for my future transgression. Because, Psalm 103, because he knows that we're fallible, he knows that we're dust. And therefore, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities us. He knows that we're fallible. He's gracious. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, but based on his character of graciousness. What an awesome God do we serve. Daily, Israel, we're reminded that God is a gracious, forgiving God. Israel, remember that I'm forgiving. Remember when you fail that I'm a gracious God. And then Israel, every single day, remember that your God lifts up his face. You heard me say this earlier. God lifts up his face. And what he means is, he says, first of all, his face beams when you enter, which means he delights in you. But I want you to get this. That whenever, I mean, I do it at home, and I try to do it better, that when my kids talk to me, I stop what I do, and I pay attention. And this is what this text says. He says, Israel, I know that you were a slave all your life and your needs weren't important and your comments weren't important and you weren't worth anything. Things changed. You're royal now. You're my children. When you enter my throne room, I pay attention. I'm all ears. I'm the God who pays attention. I'm the God who sees and I'm the God who hears. I know you. I know about you. You matter to me. And this is what he says here. God notices you every time. I want to say, God notices you. I remember many years ago, I had a dry spell again, which happens to all of us, I assume, just in terms of prayer. And I wasn't really praying. And I'm like, I know I must pray, but I'm not praying. And I don't know why I'm not praying, but I'm not praying. So, and then I just told God that. I'm saying, God, I haven't spoken to you for a long time. I just want to say that I'm sorry that I don't talk to you. I don't know why I don't pray. So I told God that. And then as clear as daylight, I heard the Lord say to me, Ross, I know your voice. I pay attention every time when you open your mouth. I hear you. And I'm like, you know, because I'm not a good boy, not a good praying, so God is going to be disappointed with me. And God's like, no, I pay attention when you talk. I notice when you open your mouth. I want to say that God notices when you speak. God is aware of you. You're his child and he delights in you. He pays attention. And this is what this text says. Every time you approach, God pays attention. He notices you. You are important to him. He's interested in you. You're a holy priesthood. You're precious to God. The last one I just want to spend a little bit of time on. The Lord bless you. He's generous. He keeps you. He protects you. He knows that you're vulnerable and he shields you. He's always with you. The Lord lifts up his face towards you. His face beams about you. He delights in you. The Lord is gracious to you. The Lord lifts up his face. He pays attention whenever you enter a room or whenever you talk to him. He's aware of you and interested in you. He's really interested in you. He's not ambivalent towards you. He doesn't tolerate you, but he's really interested. And then Israel, tell the priests that every single day they must remind them that God blessed them with peace. The word shalom. God blessed them with welfare. God blessed them with, the proper word there is prosper them. but it's been messed up in theology with us, so it's difficult to say this because it doesn't just mean material blessings. Because God is way, God doesn't just want you to be wealthy. God wants you to be well, to be at peace, to have sufficiency, to be carefree, and that's the point there, to be without concern. And that's why it says, cast all your cares on the Lord, because he really cares for you. God doesn't want you to be anxious about tomorrow or anxious about circumstance. He says, Israel, priests, tell the people, I know that they're living in the desert, but tell them, I bless them with peace right here in the desert. And you go like, what? How's it possible? Well, that's what Paul said. I've learned the secret to be content in every situation, wherever I am, well-fed, hungry, in plenty or need, in storms. I know that it's well with my soul because God blesses me with peace in this situation. Not waiting for me. Yes, God desires welfare for me, but God doesn't just desire welfare beyond the now. God desires peace now. And this is what he says. Tell these people that I desire peace for them. Prosperity, wholeness, fullness of life right here. That I'm a God who gives life to my people. It's not just terror and oppression, slavery. This is amazing. God says, I want you to enjoy life. What did Jesus say? Over and abundantly. Hyper life. Right here. Where you are now. God says, bless them with the enjoyment and the fullness of life. Bless them with joy. Right here. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, my steadfast love will not be shaken and my covenant of peace shall not be removed from you, says the Lord. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and I will give them my peace. And this is the covenant that God says. I made a covenant with you. I made a bond with you, says God, and this is my bond. My peace and my love will not be taken from you ever, says God. And this is what I desire from you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. But God says, peace right here. Although it feels that you might be shaken in the situation, God says, know this, that even though the mountains be shaken, my love will not be shaken, and even though the hills be taken away, my peace will never, ever be taken away. God's saying to us in this text that what we can bank on is that he desires goodness for us. You know why it's important to know, to hear this every day? Because especially, and I've heard you this so many times, especially when it's going rough with you, especially when it's going really difficult with you, especially when everything seems to go bad, the first thing that we human beings, we religious beings, we think, we ask Job's question, God, why are you doing this to us? And some of us have good friends like Job who says, it's because of your sin. Jou sondig, die Here straf jou. You know, do we need friends like that? I don't know. Sometimes we are those friends. Maybe it's not your sin, maybe it's your mother's sin 3 generations ago, you know, on the left side. Because she had that aunt who had that cup that she shook and then, you know. We always want the reason, how can I suffer? You know, either God is unfair or either God has forsaken me. And this is why God says, every single day, tell these people going through the wilderness, tell them my steadfast love and my peace will not be taken from them. It's not me. In other words, I desire peace from them. This is not me punishing you. This is not me forsaking you. I want to give you peace in this situation. I have not left you. Do you notice that my cloud of fire is still with you? My cloud of peace is still with you? Do you notice my love is with you? I have not forsaken you, says God. My covenant will not be shaken, says God. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Yes, I know that you came to my tent today again because you are a fallible person to bring a sin offering. Can I tell you that nothing will separate you from my peace, from my love? Romans chapter 8. No sickness, no terror. It's amazing how many times that is repeated in the New Testament. And the reason why it's repeated in the New Testament is because the New Testament was written in 3 periods. Tertullian, Nero, and Domitian, the 3 emperors that with all violence persecuted the church. So you hear the apostles and the prophet repeatedly saying, God loves you. You know, neither famine nor sword, nor nakedness, sickness, nothing can separate you from God's love. Same thing. God desires peace for you. God loves you in this situation. It's crazy. It's crazy. Yes, there will be a time when there will be no sickness, no terror, or anything like that. But hear this over and over and over again. God is faithful. God is kind. God is loving. Know that He's loving. Know that He's good. His steadfast love will not be taken away from you forever. So, dankie, Wian. Jy verstaan dit al. A goeie gryper het 'n halwe brood nodig. Lekker. Anyway. So, then God says in verse 27, He says, priests, I want you to repeat this to them every time they gather in my name, every time they gather at the tent. Say to them that I'm a God who blesses them, that I'm a God who protects them and keeps them, I'm a God who smiles over them, that I'm a God who's gracious, that I'm a God who lifts up my head and pays attention, that I'm a God who desires shalom, life for them. Say to them over and over and over and over again. Let them hear it morning, noon, and night. Let them hear it their whole life, every single day. Let them hear this every single day, because this will happen with them. First of all, Philippians 3:10. They will know me as a God who is great, generous, and protecting and mighty, God is gracious, a God who smiles. They will know me as this God. They will know that this is who I am. They will come to know that this is who I am. And they will bank on my covenant in that way. And that's what I want from them. I want them to be confident that I am a gracious, loving, kind, generous God who protects them and pays attention and really delights in them and have plans for them. They will know this about me. And the second thing, they will become like me. They will become like me. So God says, I've taken you from all the nations in the world, and I'm going to live with you that you may become like me, that you may represent me to the world. Israel, say this to them over and over again so that Israel may become those who are known as God's people, not just because of the covenant that they have, but because they really become like me, that they become a gracious, generous people who watches over the weak and the widows and the orphans, who cares for them, who delights and is friendly to the whosoever that they approach, the foreigner, the strangers among them, who is gracious, who lifts up their face and beams because they are made in God's image. A people who actually really is gracious and forgiving in nature. Isn't that what a church is known for all over the world in persecuted country? A people who is gracious and forgiving. A people who pays attention to the whosoever, who doesn't think that some people are unimportant and others are important because they are made in my image. And a people who brings prosperity, who brings shalom into every community that they enter. Israel, tell the people every single day that this is who I am, because they will start bearing my name. I'll put my name on them. They will become like us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that God desired a community to be known like Him? And Israel was supposed to be like that, and at times they failed. But we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us who makes us like Jesus. Dankie, Esther. And then the last one. Bye, dankie, Wian. Huh? Not just a pretty face. Tech savvy. Wian, kan ons die laaste slide net opsit? Thanks. One last one. And this is the last bit that he says. He says, bless them every single day. I will put my name on them. They'll be known. They'll become like me. And then he says, say this to them every single day, and I will do it, says God. You boast of how generous I am. You boast of how gracious I am. You boast of how kind I am. You boast of how friendly and loving I am. Priests, make it big. Tell them what a great God I am. God says, I'll do it. You can't out-promise me, says God. Because God says, you, when you speak these words, you can bank on the fact that it won't just be words. God says, I will fulfill these words in blessing my people. I will be generous to them. I will be gracious to them. I will preserve them. I will protect them. I will pay attention. They will see that I hear them, their answers, and I will bless them in peace. He says, you can bank on the fact that these are not just words. I'm dwelling with them, but God says, I will do this. to them. In listening to this, can we just have that the scripture up there again? Just the scripture up in the beginning of the slides. Dankie vir aan Nida en nie. Mense wat saam my werk sê ek kommunikeer nie so goed nie, so ek verstaan. The second slide, thanks. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord makes his face shine upon you, the Lord be gracious to you, the Lord lifts up his countenance upon you, the Lord give you peace, so I'll put my name on them, and I will bless you. I want you to hear that this is who God is. The God that we serve is the same God. I mean, this was written 1,500 years before Jesus was, so it was written 3,500 years ago. It was recorded. And whoever has known God to be this God. God, in a sense, said, this is, if you want to tell people who I am, this is who I am. And this is the relationship they can depend on me. And just like the Israelites dwelling through the wilderness, we have a need to be encouraged. I have a need to encourage. And nog gaan almal vir julle môre WhatsApp vir my Steve, thanks. I also have a need to be encouraged by God. But this is the God that we know. And I want us to encourage one another now with these words. I want you to look at the one thing that you know it in your head, but you want to know it in your heart. You want to feel it. You want to see it. You want to say to God, you said no when I said at the end in your head, you said, yeah, God, I want to see that. Show me that you're a God who actually pays attention when I speak. Can I also hear you? Can you speak to me? Or, you know, maybe it's just a gracious thing. Maybe tonight you really needed to hear, like God was singing to us earlier, that I'm a God who forgives. I'm ready to forgive. I'm ready to forgive, says God. Approach me. I'm ready to forgive. You can bank on my forgiveness. So maybe it's just, yes, God, I really feel vulnerable. I really feel vulnerable when I go home at night. I need to hear that you really actually watch over me because I need you to watch over me. Please watch over me. So look at the screen and find the one thing that you really want to hear from God tonight. And then I'm going to ask us to be bold and to stand up and to speak that blessing over the person that is next to you. Maybe you've already prayed for the person next to you and you can find someone who looks reasonably friendly in the crowd tonight. I'll dim the lights a little bit so you can see whose face is beaming towards you. And go to that person and just bless them with this prayer. And you can paraphrase it. You don't have to quote it. You know what it says. You know what you want to hear. And say it in your own words and speak that blessing. If you're really a shy person, no pressure on you. Really no pressure. But for the rest of us who are less shy, lots of pressure. Go to someone and speak a blessing over them. I'm going to pray. And then I'd like us to close the service by us speaking a blessing over one another tonight. And if you're bold enough and the person has prayed for you and you say, listen, while you're praying, don't you want to pray with me for this one thing? And allow them just to pray over you for this one thing. Can we be vulnerable tonight and saying, I need this in my life. Can you pray with me for God for this thing? Father, I thank you for this text, God. I thank you for this promise. God, in the name of Jesus, I bless this people, Lord. And I say that the Lord be generous towards you and bless you, that you may experience his generous heart in your life. The Lord preserve you and watch over you, your emotions, your body, your soul, the possessions that he's entrusted you. May you experience God's supernatural protection in your life. The Lord lifts up his face over you. May you experience God's delight. May you experience the Lord singing and dancing over you. May you experience God's joy about you, that he really loves you and delights in you. May you experience in your soul the peace and the joy of forgiveness of God, that God is a gracious God, that he's ready to forgive, that he truly wipes away, that he removes your iniquities as far as the east is from the west, that he forgives you all your transgressions. Because he's ready to forgive. He's a generous, gracious God. May you experience the Lord lifting up his face towards you, that he pays attention. May you experience his attention, the fact that he truly listens to you by answering your prayers and by speaking to you when you don't expect him to. And may you experience God's blessing in peace, that it will be well with your soul, that you will experience his shalom. Doesn't matter whether you're walking through the desert or whether you're living in prosperity, that you will experience the peace, the shalom of God, the welfare, the life in abundance of Christ. In Jesus' name, the Lord will perform it. Amen. Kom ons gaan na mekaar toe, and the one thing, maybe someone can just help us and dim the lights so that we can see whose face is shining over us. And just speak this blessing, one aspect that you want to hear, just speak it over the others tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.